Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome to Word Explosion with Reverend Simon Apopo, Head Pastor of Grace Hope Chapel. Do you need direction in life? Are you yearning for a closer walk with God? Are you desiring to be fruitful? The Word of God provides the answers. Feast on God's Word and let the grace of God envelop you as you listen to this life-changing message. Be blessed.
Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Thank you. Genesis chapter number 15, verse 6. Barahato sefreta koka karahado. Jimbakata. Let's see. Okay. And KJV. KJV. Let's see what the KJV says. All right. NIV. All right. Everybody, let's read together. Just one verse for starters. And Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as what? Righteousness. Come on, say it boldly. And Abraham believed the Lord and it was credited to him as righteousness. Let's read NKJV. NKJV again. Everybody. And he believed in the Lord and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Hallelujah. I think it's very appropriate. We'll be talking about probably one of the greatest fathers the world has ever known. The man that even Jesus calls him Father. Father Abraham. Amazing. Jesus, the son of Abraham, the son of David. A man that is celebrated even in heaven as a father. What a life. Well lived. A life to challenge every man, every father at the sound of my voice. What is it that makes him that special? What is it that makes him so relevant that after thousands of years after he's dead and gone, three religions will still be associated with him and say he is our father? What is it that makes God call him a friend? What is it that makes us a call to him the title, the father of faith? So much to glean from this man. If you are also going to be great in life. And already I've been talking about some steps that Father Abraham took. That when we also take, we are likely to receive the same results as our Father Abraham received. But ladies and gentlemen, last week I established the fact that of all that Abraham did, probably the greatest feat that every one of us must emulate, it's his faith walk. It's his faith life. And this statement on the notice this morning is probably the greatest statement that was ever made about Father Abraham. And he believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. My goodness. Deep statement. Very loaded. Ladies and gentlemen, righteousness begins with believing. Do we have believers of God in this house? We establish that righteousness is not what you do per se, but it's about who you believe and what you believe. That is the first step to righteousness. He believed God, and it was accounted, credited to him as a righteous man. I want to trust God that this day, and as I go through this series, some believers will rise up in this house. Men and women who believe God for the impossible. Men and women who believe God to do great exploits in your generation. This walk is about believing. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. This is the point God wants all of us to come to, my friends. The point where we believe God for anything and everything. And gradually, as I walk with God, I am coming to the point of believing God for anything and everything. I am coming to the point where I notice that nothing is impossible with God. And God wants every child of God to come to this point of righteousness where you believe God. You know He is real. For they that come to God must know that He is. And He is a rewarder of all them that diligently seek Him. We must believe God. There are too many unbelieving believers. They are in church, but they don't really believe. Especially with men and fathers. We are so analytical. We are so calculative that it becomes difficult for us to believe. You look at your age. You look at your environment. You look at your family background. You look at your circumstances. And you begin to wonder. Well, if that's you, you are not alone. I want you to understand that even Father Abraham did not start out as a great man of faith. Every one of you get this straight. He did not start as a, it got to a certain point. God had to work on him. God had to use situations and circumstances to build his faith up to Genesis 15:6. Then he mastered faith. He believed God. Then God said, you are a righteous man. I pray you are coming to that point in your life. I declare you are coming to that point in your life where you come to the point where you believe God for anything and everything. It's a stage. It's a level in God. God wants all of us to come to. Even Father Abraham, trust me, has his doubting moments, questioning moments, his wondering moments. Remember the time that he said, this Eliezer, you have not given me any child and time. My biological clock is ticking. This Eliezer is the one going to inherit my wealth. God said, no, sir. My promise is my promise. If I said it, I would do it. Even if it's one day before you die, put your hands together for the Lord. It will happen. Tell your neighbor, it will happen. Abraham, even at the point, was so fearful that in journeying with his wife, he was scared that his beautiful wife would be taken away from him and he would be killed. So the great man of faith had to lie. Hey. And so when we get there, say that you are my sister. He was scared. How many of you have scary moments in your life? Times when it looks like the way is going. If I look at my bank account, if I look at the situation, it's looking like it no go be. I am sent by God to tell you that if God said it, He will surely do it. And one of these days, you are coming to the place of the fulfillment of your prophecy. Put your hands together for the Lord. You are coming to the place. Hallelujah. So we just don't rise up to get to the place of faith. We go through series. And even when you have mastered faith, there are times you will shake. There are times you will wonder. And this morning, I want us to consider a certain man just to encourage somebody. A man who all through his life was fearful. We can easily call him an afraid man. And yet somehow, God in His grace uses him, anoints him, empowers him, and the guy does exploits. against all odds. The man can be called a doubter, just like doubting Thomas in the New Testament. And yet God was patient with him. I know I'm talking to somebody today who sometimes wonders, will my healing come? Will the breakthrough come? Will the prophecy happen? Listen, you are looking at the man that at 25 years, God spoke to me about what he was going to do in my life. It's almost getting to 25 years. I am now beginning to see a glimpse of that prophecy. And if you are here at the sound of my voice, I'm saying stop doubting and start believing, because faithful is he that has promised, and he also will do it. Put your hands together for the Lord. He also will do it. He is a faithful God. If he said it, it will surely come to pass. And this man, I want to look at this man. I'm encouraged by his story, because all through his life, he was afraid. Is it familiar? Do I have examples like that in the house? People that you look on the outside when you come to church. You look courageous. You look bold. You look like a man of faith. But when you enter your pillow in your bedroom, sometimes you wonder. If you are that type, this morning God's word is coming to you. It will happen by the grace of God. In spite of your weaknesses, against all odds, I see God coming through for you and rising you up to do exploits for God. Receive the faith and believe God for great things. Put your hands together for the Lord. Judges chapter number 11. Judges number 6. Chapter 6 verse 11. Let's read some few scriptures there. Judges chapter 6. This guy called Gideon. Did he walk in the faith of Father Abraham? Yet God uses him. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide from the Midianites. Take note of that. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. What a greeting. And Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now, look at the situation. The Lord seems to have forsaken us, and he delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. What's happening, God? How many sometimes wonder, what's happening, God? Tell anybody, you are not alone. Sometimes you live like a contradiction to God's word on your life. You look like your life is going opposite to the promises of God. And the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Watch it. 15. Quickly. And he said, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. And the Lord said, surely I will be with you. Somebody say, surely. Somebody say, surely. Ladies and gentlemen, if I had time, maybe I'll continue next week. I'll walk you through various stages of doubt, questioning in the mind of this man called Gideon. And yet, by the time we hit the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter number 11, when God recalls, can I talk to somebody? When the Lord recalls the men of faith, great men who did exploits, somewhere in verse 32, Gideon's name makes an appearance. Somehow, against all odds, Gideon's name appears in God's great men of faith as one of them. And I am here to encourage somebody. You may be fearful. You may be doubtful. You may be wondering whether anything good will come out of you. But hear me, at the end of the day, I see your name appearing in places you never thought, you never dreamt. I see you being recorded as one of God's men of faith in this our generation. And hear me, God will use your life for great exploits. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but Gideon gives me hope. Because you can qualify him as an afraid man. Tell you the truth. Most men on the outside look very courageous. They talk to their wives as if I'll take care of it. But in their hearts, they are scared. They are wondering where the next meal will come from. Their men are not as strong as we make them to be. But the other day, I read my Bible, and the Bible said, when we are weak, then he is strong. For my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Put your hands together for the Lord. My strength is made. Gideon, the first time we see him, ladies and gentlemen, he was hiding in a wine press, threshing wheat, wrong place, doing the great thing at the wrong place. That was a sign of fear, intimidated. Listen, a man can be intimidated by another man, can be intimidated by society and by the economy. Sometimes when you look at your classmates and they bring their S class, you can be intimidated. But God sent me to tell you, greater is he that's inside of you than he that is in the world. Sometimes you can look at your peers and you feel intimidated. The man was intimidated because the Midianites had captured them. How can you thresh wheat in a wine press? Where is the wind to blow the chaff away? This was almost like mission impossible. This was almost like, are you crazy, young man? What do you think you are doing? I mean, if anybody in his right senses met Gideon, I think he would say, forget, this is mission impossible. But hear me, one of the shocking things about this story, and that's the main focus for today, is the greeting of the angel of the Lord. I am Makunda. I feel an anointing. Akuma Sata. Hear me. The guy was so afraid, he was hiding from the Midianites. So scared. Hiding somewhere. And the angel of the Lord comes to him. And he doesn't question his foolishness. He doesn't question his fear. He doesn't question his doubt. And he walks up to him and says, oh Lord, Makabo. Look at verse 12. This is the grasp of the matter. If you can catch this, my work is done this morning. Verse 12. And the angel of the Lord, remember, Lord is in capital, so we are talking about the Lord Jesus, appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. I don't know what your wife thinks about you. I don't know what society thinks about you. I don't know what your peers thinks about you. But we serve a God who calls those things which be not as if they were. You may not look like a giant slayer today. You may not look like an anointed man today. But when God sees you, he sees you in the light of the word. And he says you are champion of your generation. This morning I've come to talk to champions of this generation. Hear me, I know you are fearful, I know you are intimidated, but God sent me to tell you, you are the next champion of your family. Listen to me, you are a history maker. Can I talk to you this morning? You will be a sign and a wonder to your generation. Let any man write you off. Let them reject you. Let them think nothing good will come out of you. The other time, they told Jesus, Nazareth? Can anything come out of Nazareth? Can I talk to somebody? But Jesus said, the stone that the builders rejected, Ayakamusa, the stone that the builders rejected always become the capstone. And I'm speaking to somebody prophetically. Hear me, Grace Fields. When I look at you, I don't see ordinary young men and women. Hear me. I see prosperous men and women. I see the next multi-millionaires of this generation. Hear me. I see the next great tele-evangelist. I see great prophets rising up in this generation. You are one of them. You are one of them. Hear me. You will sponsor nations. Hear me, church. Can I talk to somebody? I see. Oh, goodness. If only you can see what I see. Listen, times are coming. One of you, just one, will build this temple on your own for the Lord. If only you knew what I know. and you can see what I see. That's why I don't despise you. That's why I don't look down upon you. Today you may be nothing, but when the grace of God comes upon your life, you are about to shock fans. Can I prophesy to somebody? Get ready to shock fans. But who gave us a dog's chance? But he said he picks the lowly things. He picks the weak things of this life. He picks the despised things of this life. And he uses them to confound the wise. Hear me, you are about to surprise your generation. They wrote you off, but I am sent by the Lord. You are not who they say you are. And number two, you are not what you think you are. Stop looking down upon yourself. Stop letting your mates intimidate you. There's something called overtaking. One of these days, you will rise up and overtake. Can I talk to somebody? I know what I'm talking about because I've been there before. How do you finish school with four of your friends? One gets a good job in Accra. He lives in a 5-bedroom house, fully air-conditioned. 1 year after school, he's using a 4-wheel drive Musso. The other one, the second one is in America. 10 days after school, he went to America. The third one is in the UK. Few days after school, you flew to UK. How do you feel when they call you Christmas and they say, what's the size of your shirt? And you are doing sign of the cross because your classmate is buying you your shirt for Christmas. And you're excited. And you are walking on the streets of Kumasi and rains are beating you. To your panties. One day, rains beat me after church. I went home with him and I started crying. I said, what sin have I committed for serving you? For following after you? What mistake did I commit? But little did I know that it is not he that willeth nor runneth, but it is God who showeth mercy. He said, I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious to, and I'll be merciful to whom I'll be merciful to. Hear me, I see God show you mercy. I see, your story will change by the grace of God. I know you're afraid, but your story will change. I know you think you will never give birth, but I see triplets coming out of your loins. Hear me, you shall be a sign and a wonder. I know you hear voices saying you will amount to nothing and you'll be disgraced. But hear me, there is only one thing I feel like prophesying. Just one thing the angel told Mr. Gideon. Just one. And that's the same thing I've come to repeat to you today. Put it there. Just one statement, though. He said, the Lord is with you, mighty man of valor. Can I talk to somebody today? That is 5 words. Just 5 words. 5 powerful words. 5 gracious words. Listen, you don't need anything more or less than these 5 words. Can I preach? I said, you don't need any word. You don't need any connection, man. You don't need any uncle in Massachusetts. Hear me. I have traveled. When I call all my friends, America, UK, send me invite. They didn't send me. They said, we need a new bank statement. We need this. We need this. Some say we'll get back. They never got until a white man I've never met before called me from the UK and said, are you Reverend Simon? He asked me 1-2 questions. I said, yeah, I want to come for that wedding. He said, I'm going to send you invite the next day. And when a white man you don't know sends you an invite from a white church, by all means, they can't even bounce you. Listen to me. I thank myself that my black friends despised me and they wrote and they didn't send me the invite because God knew I needed that particular invite to sail through. Hear me. Those who despise you, let them despise you. You don't need any uncle. You don't need any father. You don't need any anybody in MPP. You don't need anybody in NDC. Hear me. You don't need anybody. Just five words. The Lord is with you. The Lord is. Somebody put your hand on your chest and say number five. The Lord is with me. It doesn't look like that. It doesn't feel like that because your location itself is a contradiction. But here, God said, the Lord is with you. You might be eating kose today, but God sent me to tell you, the Lord is with you. What is that? It is the presence of God. All you need in life, young man, all you need in life, young woman, it's not a fat bank account. You need the presence of God. Because the other time I checked, he said, if God be for you, who can be against you? He said, the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. Hear me. That's why it's a joke when you play with this 90 days. See, people are not joining this 90 days because we are not praying for visas. We are not praying for cars. We are not praying for fruit of the womb. We are not praying for cash. But we are smarter than that. We have seen the game changer. We have seen the defining moment. We have seen what distinguishes the men from the boys. And it is the presence of the Lord. I declare to you today, may the Lord be with you. Put your hands together for the Lord. That's all. That is all. That is all. I remember the time he said, we should go and see a certain man. I said it was a good idea. I was thinking about it, but I was praying. Halamakuma sata. We didn't get to go and see the man. But somehow, they called us. Can I talk to somebody here? What you need is for Jehovah God to be with you. So for me, when I have a problem, the only question I ask myself is God with me? Do I love the Lord? That's all. Because I checked my Bible and it said, all things, positive and negative, work together for the good of them that love God, that are called according to his purpose. I see it working together for your good. Five words, church, just five words. The Lord is with you, thou mighty man of valor. Receive this prophetic word for yourself. Mantona kabaya. Two mark, and the five is grace. Thank you. It's gracious word. The Lord is with you. So the other time I read Psalm 118, verse 6. And he said, the Lord is with me. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Can I prophesy to somebody? Nobody can do you who take. Hear me. I said, nobody can do you who take. All you need is for the Lord to be with you. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can mortal man do to me? When it comes to Hebrews, he quotes the same scripture, but he quotes it with a certain verse in front. He said, then we will say with confidence, I like the Hebrews. I think Hebrews 13 there about. We say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I declare to you, no witch can bring you down. No adversary can bring you down. As long as Jehovah is with you. Put your hands together and give a shout. No adversary. What can man do to me? And you know, after this greeting, the guy was still doubting. The guy was still questioning. Hear me. Gifty, sometimes God can take your questions. God can handle your doubts. You see, sometimes we think that when we doubt, God is angry with us. No. He came to Thomas and said, look at my hands. Why did you doubt? It's only blessed to believe before you see. That I'll still show myself strong on you. I see somebody doubting, but God will come through for you. I say, even as I'm preaching, somebody say, Pastor, yeah, you don't know. My story is not like Gideon, no. Hey, shut up. I said, the Lord is with you. Look at Gideon. He began to question the Lord. If the Lord is with us, why are all these things happening to us? Where are all the miracles? All the breakthroughs that he prophesied about, where are they? It's not happening. It's just not happening. God said, go in this might that you have and conquer the Midians. Hear me? Some of you are about to face your greatest fear and overcome it. Can I prophesy to somebody? I say, you are about to confront your greatest fear on earth and you will come. You see, one would have thought that when he doubted, God would change his mind. God said, hey, boy, I know who you are. I know I am with you. I am not changing my purpose and my plan for you. The very thing you are afraid of, the very people that's making you hide in that place, I am sending you. Hear me? And you don't need extra anointing. You don't need more money. Oh. You don't need connection. This very strength you have, go, for I have given the Midianites into your hands. I declare to you, you are rising up to possess it by the grace of God. Listen, your greatest fear, you overcome it. They say you will not give birth. You will give birth and give birth again. Can I talk to you? They say you will never amount to nothing. Rise up and face your greatest fear. God, you see, God wants us to rise up with faith in our hearts. Say, Gideon, I'm not changing my mind. You see, Abraham also tried it. He went aside. God said, hey, I am God Almighty. Walk with me and be faithful. I will still do what I have promised to do with your life. He will not change his mind. Can I talk to you? You are about to slay your giants one of these days. So the last, my greatest fear in life was starting Graceville. My greatest fear in life was starting Graceville. I was inching to 40 years. And I was telling myself, am I now going to go from house to house? Because I was very good when I was in the 20s. Evangelism and house. Oh, I'll come to your house. But when I was inching 40 and I had to start my own ministry, I said, Asemaba. Where am I going to get a venue? Voices started coming to me. Where we are back. Remember one night I was praying. I said, God, this cannot be the end of the road. You are not like that. My wife was listening. When she woke up in the morning, she said, Ede empire, no, no. Then I remembered Abraham. I am but flesh. I am but sawdust. But I am determined to talk to God. If somebody can talk to God how you feel, he will come through for you. Listen, you will face that fear. Hear me. 90% of the things we fear never happen. 90% of the things, it will never happen. They say you will die. You will not die. Hear me. You will, after Gideon, listen, after Gideon saw the angel, he said, obey Gideon. I said, oh, already, I've seen the face of the Lord. I will die. Then the Lord came back to him and said, Gideon, you will not die. I declare peace to you. Today, I declare peace to somebody. Receive the peace of God that transcends all understanding. You will not die. You will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Put your hands together for Jesus. I feel like talking to somebody this morning. I feel like letting faith rise up inside of you. You know, the guy was scared. Verse 15, God said, go like this, I'll show myself strong. After I said, Rady, you don't know what you are talking about. See, sometimes when God is speaking to us, we think we, Rady will name the organ. So he said, oh Lord, how can I Nepa. How can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Min chatem. There was a lady in this church many years ago. Excuse me to say, but she looked so dull. Me, when I preach and you can't understand, that's one I know. How many ever get confused with my message? No, you can't. I preach the ABC of the gospel. But make me a teaching youth, my friend girl. At the end, I'm a kind of show me. She said, "What she na?" She said, "She in Fimumba." And she called me and said, "I'm getting married to a big man. I don't want to mention so that you can use your mind." I said, "You? Big man?" The guy was a big man. I didn't believe it. I said, "Let me talk to the guy." I said, "Will you marry this, my daughter? Are you sure it's the one you want to marry?" "Yes, sir." The next time I heard of her, she was a police officer. I was asking, now when you have a statement, God will be to me actual. Hey, can I speak to somebody here? You are about to surprise even your wildest enemies. Because I read my Bible, it said, "For thou, O Lord, are the shield around me. You are my glory and the lift." May the Lord lift up your head above your contemporaries. When I see her, that's why I don't give up on anybody. And I'm talking to you. You are the sound of my voice. The Lord is with you. Put your hands together for the Lord. Freedom. He said, "I am the weakest. My family is the weakest, and I am the least poorest of the poor. Lowest of the low. I am down there." Is anybody down there? Get ready. For promotion comes from above. God will, He lifts up the poor from the ash heap, and He puts them among the throne of honor. May God lift you and put you on the throne of honor. By the grace of God. Hear me. One would have thought God said, okay, I'll use somebody else. No, not God. Listen to Him again and let me close. Verse 16. God repeats His agenda. And this time He adds a clause to it. Everybody read. And the Lord said to him, what? Surely. Alabakonda. Surely. What? I will be with you. Surely. Listen. The only surety we have is goodness and mercy. And I see goodness on your right. I see mercy on your left. They are going with you all the way 2021 to the very end. Receive the certainty. Surely I will be with you. He says, my presence. You don't need anything. You just need my presence. That's why you don't joke with this 90 days. His presence. That's all you need. But I repeat it. If you didn't hear, surely. Today receive for certainty. The presence of God. It opens doors. It makes a way where there seems to be no. It gives you extra confidence. Sure. Unfortunately, I may have to be running up here. I'll continue. I didn't get anywhere. I'll show you 7 times this guy was still afraid. Even after this, assurance. Read the next verse, 17. I said, God, then give me a sign for me to know you are the one talking to me. Is it, are you the one? Listen. Then show me a sign that it is you. Right away, dear. Menjindi. Oh, Gideon. Show me a sign. Sometimes we all come to this point. When I was 25 years and God started speaking to me, I stopped and said, please, don't lie to me. Name me Peras. Are you sure you are going to do this? I was asking the Lord. So we all come to this point. And I would have thought that God would cut him off. But God didn't. He showed him the sign. Fire came out of the rock. When you go read chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, because I'm going to flow in that direction. God made fire come out of the rock and the Lord entered it. After that, I was saying, Eradi be kumi. But who Eradi will be kumi? Ebe! Lift your hand and say, surely he will be with me. If I change it, say, surely he is with me. Put your hands together for sure. I will close here. I'll continue another time. But you know, let me fast track a bit. Do you know that? Okay, I'll leave that for next week. I'll leave that for next week. But let me end with this. When God saw that he was afraid to meet his wildest fear at that time, he realized that the guy, he can't handle this great army. Because the Bible said the Midianites, they were like, look, millions around Israel. So he was intimidated. So God said, pause there. I know you are afraid. And I'm talking to men and fathers now. Hear me. Verse 25. God said, before you face your wildest fear, I want you to do something. I want you to do something. That's what I'm leaving with all fathers and all men and every one of us today. And this week, that's what we are going to deal with. Verse 25, quickly. 25. Now it came to pass the same night the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has built, and cut down the wooden images that is beside it. 26. And build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock. In the what? Proper what? In the proper what? Hear me. How many want to conquer your wildest enemy? And how many of us want to overcome our wildest fear? Lift your hand. Do you? That thing that has been scaring you since age 5, you want to overcome it? Lift your hand. Hear me. God said, before you overcome that wild fear, go home. Go home and break down the wrong altar that is in your house, that your fathers have built, and raise up a proper order, a proper altar in its proper arrangement. After that, you'll be ready to conquer that great giant outside. Can I talk to fathers for a moment? Can I talk to men for a moment? I know you need wild breakthroughs in life. You want external victories. But God is telling all of us, go home and put your house in order. Once your house is in order, you can conquer that greatest fear. You can conquer that greatest challenge. The first must start from your home. The victory must start. Too many men are disorganized in their homes. They are not leading in their homes. They are not breaking down the wrong altars of the fathers. And they want external victory. They say, charity begins at home. Go back home today and rearrange the order of your house. Be the man in your house. Let the right order be established in your house. After that, you are ready to handle the Midianites. To until you have private victory, you will not have external victory. You can't wash your socks. You want to have external victory? You can't control your... He said, if any man wants to lead God's house, he should first go and manage his own house. Men, God is speaking to us today. The Midianites shall be conquered. Your wildest fear, you will conquer it. But until then, go home. Love your wife. Be faithful to her. Take care of your children. Do the proper arrangement in your house. Correct the mistakes you have made as a father, or what your fathers have done and it's having an effect on you. Break it and build a new altar. And once you are sorted out, you'll be ready for an external victory. May the Lord bless you and make you who you were born to be. May you be that great father. May you be that great woman of God. Sort your home first and see God glorify himself in your life. May the Lord bless you and make you who you were born to be. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to Word Explosion with Reverend Simon Ampofo. We believe you've been blessed. Reverend Ampofo is the author of 3 life-changing books. These books are Identifying Great Opportunities, Back to Eden, and Drop That Yam. You can follow Reverend Simon Ampofo on Facebook and Instagram. You can also listen to him on Audio Mac or the Apple Podcast. For inquiries, please call 0552-505083. God bless you as you enjoy grace in abundance.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233-26767-6055. +233-26767-6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.